Sky was the son of someone in a position of authority, what the adults sometimes called a caudillo, meaning big man, and that augured well for his own future. It was open talk amongst his parents and the other adults that Captain Balcazar was an old man now. Old man Balcazar and his father were professionally close. Titus always had the captain's ear, and Balcazar routinely consulted Sky's father for advice. This trip outside would have required Balcazar's authorization, since use of any of the Santiago's spacecraft was to be kept to a minimum, the ships themselves irreplaceable. He felt the taxi decelerate, false gravity easing off again. "Take a good look," Titus said. They were passing the engines, a huge and bewildering tangle of tanks and pipes and flared orifices like the gaping mouth of trumpets. "Antimatter," Titus said, mouthing the word like a quiet oath. "It's the devil's own stuff, you know. We carry a small amount even in this shuttle, just to initiate fusion reactions, but even that makes me shiver. But when I think about the amount aboard the Santiago, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up." Titus pointed to the two magnetic storage bottles at the rear of the ship, huge reservoirs for penning macroscopic quantities of pure antilithium. The larger of the two reservoirs was empty now. The fuel it had contained completely consumed during the initial boost phase up to interstellar cruising speed. Though there was no external indication that this was the case, the second bottle still contained its complete load of antimatter, delicately balanced in a vacuum fractionally more perfect than the one through which the great ship flew. There was less antimatter in the smaller bottle, since the ship's mass would be less during deceleration than acceleration, but there was still enough to give anyone nightmares. No one, at least in Sky's experience, ever joked about antimatter. "All right," his father said. "Now get back in your seat and do your belt up." When he was secure, Titus gunned the taxi, increasing the thrust to its maximum. The Santiago diminished until it was just a thin grey sliver, and then became difficult to see, unless one searched the star fields carefully. It was hard to believe, seeing it against apparently fixed stars, that the ship was moving at all. It was, but 800ths of light speed, though faster than any crewed ship had ever moved before, was still almost zero when set against the vast distances between the stars. That was why the passengers were frozen, so that they could sleep out the whole thing while three generations of crew lived almost their entire lives tending them. Cocooned in their cryogenic sleeper berths, the passengers were nicknamed mummies by the crew, Momios in the Castellano, which were still used for casual conversation within the ship. Sky Houseman was crew. So was everyone he knew. "Can you see the other ships yet?" asked his father. Sky searched the forward view for long moments before finding one of the other vessels. It was hard to see, but his eyes must have adapted to the darkness since leaving home. Had he imagined it even so? No. There it was again, a tiny toy-like constellation in its own right. "I see one," Sky pointed. His father nodded. "That's the Brasilia, I think. The Palestine and the Baghdad are out there too, but they're much further away." "Can you see it?" "Not without a little assistance." Titus' hands moved in the dark across the taxi's control board, painting an overlay of colored lines over the window, bright against space like chalk on a blackboard. The lines boxed the Brasilia and the two more distant ships, but it was only when the Brasilia loomed large that he thought he could make out the slivers of the other two vessels. By then the Brasilia had revealed itself to be identical to his home ship, down to the disks studding its spine.